إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيقول الله جل وعلا: قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو، فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى. My dear brothers and sisters, we find that Allah Ta'ala, as Ibn Abbas, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cousin, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentions, says Allah has guaranteed, if one wants to be happy and a person wants to be feeling content in this life as well as the next life, and they want to be guided in this life as well as the next life, he says, it's found in this verse when Allah Ta'ala says, he says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. When guidance comes to you from the sky, the Qur'an, the Sunnah, and other than that, specifically the revelation, says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ. And one who follows this guidance of mine, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. فَلَا يَضِلُّ will not be misguided. It's going to be guided to the right path. A lot of people think they're guided, but they're not actually guided. They're wasting lots of time upon misguidance. So Allah Ta'ala guarantees that they will be guided. And the second, وَلَا يَشْقَى. فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. And Allah Ta'ala also tells the Prophet ﷺ, says, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Says, طَاهَا, we haven't sent this Qur'an down to you, O Muhammad, so that you feel sad, so that you grieve, so you feel down, you feel depressed. That wasn't the purpose behind the revelation of the Qur'an, my dear sisters. As in that person, okay, so because they're now on the path of guidance, they live in a state of difficulty. It doesn't work like that at all. We have an incident that I wanted to share with the brothers and sisters, inshaAllah ta'ala, that it can bring to life the ayah that we just mentioned. In Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this happened over 20 years ago, where there was a qari', a famous reciter. He was reciting the Qur'an. He's the one who narrates this. He said, I would recite the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an to a sheikh. So every night, after Isha, we have a halaqah, we have a circle of tahfidh, memorization of the Qur'an. He says, it so happened, Allah decreed that I'm going to be the last one to recite the Qur'an to my teacher. So everyone recited before me. Everyone recited. He was the last one. It was him and the sheikh in the masjid. So he said, then a man entered into the masjid. The man didn't recognize the sheikh. The man looked like he was in a state of major distress, really down. So he looks at the sheikh and you can see a student reciting to him. He said, oh sheikh, can I recite some Quran to you? So the sheikh says to him, I have no problem with that, but as you can see, I'm listening to this student of mine right now. So go to the front of the masjid, perform two rak'ahs, two units of prayer, and pick up the mushaf, pick up a copy of the Qur'an, start reciting the Qur'an. So the man went to the front of the masjid, performed two rak'ahs, two units of prayer, picked up, opened the Qur'an, started to recite the Qur'an. So the student who's narrating the story, he said to the sheikh telling me, normally I recite a certain amount, the sheikh saying, continue. So I say, stop, is that enough? He says, no, continue. So he said, I could see the sheikh was saying deliberately, saying, continue, elongate the recitation, lengthen the recitation. He said, until half an hour went by. So this guy has prayed the two rak'ahs, sing at the front of the masjid, reciting Quran, for half an hour. After that, after half an hour went past, he said, that's enough. Let's quote him from the front of the masjid. So come from the front of the masjid. So the man came from the front of the masjid. He said, the face that he had right now was very different to the one that he entered the masjid with. The one that he entered the masjid looked like the guy was in some perpetual, lethal type of depression. And right now, he looks content, he looks at ease, he looks in a state of peace. So then the sheikh said to him, he said, come and recite the Qur'an now. He said, I don't want to recite the Qur'an anymore. He said, what do you mean you don't want to recite the Qur'an? You've been waiting all this time.
He said, I don't know what happened, but when I was reciting the Quran at the front of the masjid, I just felt a state of contentment still. I don't know what happened. I can't describe it. So then the Shaykh says to him, he's advising him, he said, when you entered into the masjid, your soul, I saw that your soul was starving. Your soul. He said, you comprise of a body, we all have a body, and a soul. He said that just like your body, it was made from the earth, from turab, from the earth. So he said, so the nourishment, the food and drink has to come from the earth. But as for your soul, it was created in the sky, so it can only be nourished from that which is from the sky, meaning revelation. Meaning revelation, my dear sisters. Meaning the Quran. Meaning the prayer. Specifically, the Quran. So this is an example, my dear sisters, where a lot of the time, brothers and sisters, they tend to, like, they don't understand. Some people nowadays, we have all of these psychological courses, like mindfulness, and all of these other ones where it's supposed to build, like, a person is supposed to have some inner peace. Even when a person goes online, they find lots of adverts saying, if you want inner peace, you want to state, you want to feel good, try this program out, try this out. But what we fail to realize, brothers and sisters, that these programs, some of them, that don't contradict Islam, they have some, they're not completely no good. They have some khair in them, some of them, the ones that don't contradict Islam. But they're all no more than a quick fix. As in, it sorts you out for a day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks. But then you subside, you relapse, you feel down again. Whereas with the Quran, you start reciting the Quran like that guy, half an hour. Imagine that, half an hour. Maybe he hasn't recited it for the last 1 month, 2 months, maybe a year. And all of a sudden, half an hour, he feels better. Half an hour, he feels better, my sisters. So as we, Ramadan approaches in the next month, we know Ramadan is entering, we only have about a month left before Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala, and their sisters. And I'm confident that the brothers and sisters in this masjid, they're not Ramadan Muslims. They don't just pick up the Quran in Ramadan. And if some of us have been Ramadan Muslims, then it's an opportunity right now in this khutbah to make a strong, like, azm and intention and determination that a person is like, from now, today, I'm going to start reciting the Quran, even if it's 5 minutes. Doesn't matter how much. Different people can recite at different pace. The point is, I want to start reciting some Qurans. This is the first thing, this is tilawa of the Quran. Tilawa itself, recitation itself, nourishes the soul. And a lot of us, we don't understand why. When you meet a brother and a brother looks like, you say, this guy, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. The truth is, he didn't wake up on the wrong side. Truth is, he's probably misfajr. That's one possibility. The truth is, this person's soul is probably starving. That's the truth of the matter. It's not that they woke up. This is just a random statement. The truth of the matter is as I've mentioned to you. So that's the first thing of this. The second point is, after a person starts reciting the Quran, then to make some sort of tatbiq, some amal. Al-amalu bihi, meaning al-amalu bi kitabillah. Acting upon the book of Allah. So when a person starts reciting the Quran, that many brothers and sisters, mashallah, they recite the Quran. You see that ghibah is not allowed, we continue ghibah. We need to make, my dear sisters, this is a very, very important point. It's very straightforward. I'm sure all of you know about this, but I think because it's so important, we don't pay attention to it. Remember this one simple point, my dear sisters. I can't stress how important it is. Knowing a problem, knowing that we backbite, knowing that we commit this sin, knowing that we commit that sin, that doesn't solve the problem. Remember this simple point. Knowing that something is wrong doesn't, it's not a solution. Knowing, a person 20 years later, you say, you know that you've done this sin, you meet them 20 years later, it's doing the same sin, because knowledge of the sin is not good enough, brothers and sisters. You need to do some takhdeer. What's takhdeer? As in a plan, have a plan, have a game plan. Okay, so for example, Ibn Wahab, from the scholars of the past, he wanted to get rid of ghiba. Said, I do ghiba, I want to stop backbiting. What's ghiba? Backbiting. A brother of yours, a sister of yours, you know, you say something unpleasant about them. Or even if it's something about them that they won't like, say, oh, this guy, he always is frowning. And you know they wouldn't like it. If they heard you saying that, they wouldn't be happy. That's ghiba, my dear sister. That's ghiba. So, that's backbiting. So Ibn Wahab said, I want to stop ghiba. What did he do? He said, okay, yeah, stop ghiba. Ya Allah, please, stop me from, that's good, that's positive. You need to have a game. You need to tie your camel and also have tawakkul. Tie your camel. Make a game plan. What did he do? He says, every time I backbite a Muslim, I'm going to fast one day. So he says, so I was doing riba one day, fasting one day. This guy, almost every day is fasting. Every day, almost every day is fasting. So what happened? Remember the sisters that although we're caught in these stories, please try to avoid speaking or laughing or anything similar to that during the khutbah. This khutbah is not a lecture. Muhadharah, you can laugh, no problem. But khutbah has its own maqam and its own status. With that said, brothers and sisters, so he started to fast regularly. He realized that it's not working. So what did he do? Went back, evaluated, says, I thought, if I fast, I'm going to stop doing riba, it's not working. Okay, I'm going to change my plan now. I'm going to make another, a vow to Allah, make something an obligation upon me, that from now on, I'm going to give money. Every time I backbite, I'm going to give a dirham, a silver coin. So he said, so out of love of money, taraktu al-ghiba. Allah says, stop riba. That's it. That's an example of a game plan. That's an example of this is of beneficial knowledge. Beneficial knowledge. Meaning, you know that you're doing something wrong. What do I do to stop doing that wrong? You can't just say, yeah, make dua. Or like when a person, for example, a person is doing something wrong, and a brother meets him and says, make dua for me. There's nothing wrong with saying, make dua for me. But the issue is that you need to also make a game plan. If you don't make a game plan, 50 years later, your grandfather is still making the same sin on your sisters. You're still doing the same sin. Or your grandmother is still doing the same sin. So this is an important one. Second one is what? First one, recitation. Second one, acting upon your brothers and sisters. Acting upon it. The third one is understanding it and contemplating over it. Reflecting over it. Meaning you think, this is the meaning. As in, you're thinking deep about this. Am I acting upon this? Am I not? You know, what's the meaning of this? You want to know? It's like, it's a sad reality, brothers and sisters. That I can guarantee you, if it wasn't a khutbah, I would ask you guys to raise your hands. If we were to ask everyone on the different floors of this masjid, has everyone completed a book? Any book, in your language, in English or another language, anything. You've read a book, some sort of book. And a person will say, yeah, alhamdulillah, I've read a book. I'm sure almost like 99% will say, yeah, I've read a book. Say, have you read three books? Say, yeah, I've read three. Five? Yeah, I've read five. Have you read the book of Allah? No. Isn't that a musibah, my dear sisters? As in, a person's read 10, 20 books of human beings, but the book of Allah, we've said, we just shelved it. So is this really going to make me money in this life? No, probably not. Is this going to help me? And the truth of the matter is, it's going to help you with a lot more than that, my dear sisters. It's going to actually give you inner peace for the first time in your life. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel something that you've been searching for decades. For decades. For a very long time. So all it requires a small amount every day, a daily dosage, like food and drink. When you meet a brother or sister who hasn't eaten for a day, you can see they're complaining, I'm starving, I need to have some food. Likewise, they don't realize that their soul is starving. And that's why they're down. That's why when a person makes anything, they're in a bad mood. They get upset. It's like, you know, you're worried that you say the smallest of things, they get triggered. This is the real reason, because their soul is suffering. Suffering, and they've never realized it. So the third one is as well, is making amal upon it. And that's, not amal upon it, is contemplating. And this is really important, because most of us don't understand it. And there was one scholar of the past, he wrote a tafsir. He actually completed a tafsir. What's a tafsir? An explanation, an analysis of a Qur'an. He explained the entire Qur'an, verse by verse. After he completed it and he reviewed it multiple times, then he wanted to go to a king and get some, show him, look, I've done this, can you give me some support, can you give me some money? So as he's traveling to that person, it was a long journey. At that time there weren't planes, there were not trains. So he stopped at another scholar's house. And that scholar didn't know him, but they would honor one another and host one another. When he says, oh, it's another Muslim, he's from out of town, let me honor him, let me host him. So he stopped at his house. And the sheikh, the host, he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to ask for some money. He said, why? He said, I worked very hard on this tafsir. I have children, I want to get them married, I want to do this, I want to do that. Oh, he said, you've authored an entire tafsir. He said, that's right. He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We all know that verse. Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. said, how did you explain that verse? What did you write? He said, I wrote, لَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاكَ وَلَا نَسْتَعِينُ إِلَّا بِكَ. We only, exclusively, we worship you, no one other than you. We only seek help and support and aid from you alone. Exclusively, not from anyone else. So the Sheikh, the Alim said to him, he said, so why are you going to other than him for them? He said, so why are you going back? So he understood the message, and instead of going there, he went back home. And that same person who he wanted money from, he was going to go and show his tafsir and etc. That person sent him money anyway. Why is he at home? He didn't need to go and ask for it. The money came to him anyway. So this is the third thing, my sisters. The first one, recitation of the Quran. Second, acting, even anything small. The third one, contemplating. Try to learn the meaning. Try to learn the meaning. Understand it. Whether you want to watch lectures, whether you want to listen to things, whether you want to read a tafsir of the Quran. The point is, start, my dear sisters. The point is, start off with something. And there's one more that we want to mention, but we'll mention it in the second khutbah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana innaka anta al-alim al-hakim. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta tad'alu al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Bishrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlil 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. To conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, the last one that we want to mention, we mentioned in the first khutbah, recitation of the Quran. So start from today. Start from today. It's an aib, it's a major deficiency, my dear sisters, that nowadays most of us have smartphones. The iPhone or the Android, most of us have smartphones. And we have multiple apps on the smartphone. But it's very sad that we go and use every app other than the Quran app, Nisa. So it's not like we got an excuse. We use every app, but as for the Quran app, it's like we skip the app. We say, it's as if it doesn't exist. And some of us may even have more than one app on their sisters. So this is the first one, recitation, even if it's a small amount, pick it up. Small amount. There was one brother, whenever he has spare time, he's waiting for an appointment, and he's at the doctor's. The doctor said, you have to wait an extra 10 minutes. During that time, he just recites some Quran on his phone. Anytime he gets an opportunity, he recites Quran. In one day, he would complete three chapters of Quran. Three chapters. So every 10 days, he completes the Quran. That's called maximizing your time. I know another brother who was going to university for 2 years, and he went to one of the prestigious universities. And in two years, on his train journey was about an hour and a half each way, every day. 2 years, he completed the entire memorization. And he's not from a scholarly family or anything. In London, this happened in London, not too long ago, only a few years ago. Using your time wisely, brothers and sisters, is like, we really need to start making use of our time. We really need to start making. First thing is recitation. Second, try to implement whatever you learn. And obviously, thirdly, contemplation. The last one, brothers and sisters, is to acknowledge that the Quran is a problem solver. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We've sent this book down upon you, onto you, O Muhammad, as a tibyan, as a comprehensive guide. It's an answer, it has an answer to everything, my dear sister. It has an answer to everything. The question is we need to go and learn, we need to spend some time with it. Like Hassan al-Basri, how did he used to say? He said, the people before us used to look at the Quran as if it was like messages. From the Lord. Imagine you got a message, you want to know what does this message say? Someone from beloved to you, so what does it say exactly? What do I need to do today? So even if you pick up one ayah a day, brothers and sisters, you start working in the right direction. And the last thing that I want to say, is when it comes to recitation of Quran, do something, recite something. That's the key. Even if it's something. And the second thing is memorization of Quran. A lot of the time, many of us want to memorize the Quran. I would highly encourage this simple way of memorization of the Quran, brothers and sisters. What is it? Every day, you memorize something, even if it's half a verse, one line. You know, believe it or not, there's people who have completed the entire Quran and they memorize one ayah a day. That's it, one ayah, one verse a day. Why is that? Because when you look at an ocean, droplets form an ocean. An ocean doesn't just, it's not just formed like, just like that. Likewise, memorization of Quran, the key is some progress. You're always moving forward. You're always moving. Otherwise, most of us, when we want to memorize the Quran, we say, inshallah, on the weekend, inshallah, when it's holiday time, when I'm retired, then I'll memorize. The truth of the matter is that day is not going to happen. A person is going to die and they're still going to keep saying that. On the desert, Allah, inshallah, if Allah gives me shifa, I'm going to try and memorize a bit of Quran. If you do the simple guide, half a verse, one verse, something. Point is something. I'm not saying one verse or half a verse, this is an example. For some of you, maybe you can memorize a lot more than that in a short space of time, and it's realistic, but the key is there's something you're memorizing. The key is something. You're moving forward and not backwards. And the thing is, you can't memorize anything. Do muraja'ah. Do revision. Revise what you've done. Okay, today I can't do it, no problem. Let me revise what I've learned. And slowly, my dear sisters, you finish it off bi-idhnillah ta'ala. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.